Now, to come back to what you came in to talk to me about, and that's in the aftermath of the President's visit to University College London Hospital to celebrate the work of Irish medical staff who trained and worked in the UK over many decades. Many of them, of course, who came back to Ireland with their nursing skills. Some people obviously went over there with their nursing skills, and that seemingly is continuing to happen. Certainly that was reflected in the coverage last night. But you've been talking to some of them, Valerie, about how different life was when they chose their nursing careers.
Yeah, I was, Sean, because I thought it might be interesting for our listeners to know, you know, if they hadn't been in nursing, what a different world it was back then. I mean, there was no Ryanair for a start, so most people were travelling that long journey on the boat. And what I did was I met up with two nurses, Patricia Toll from Castledlaney in County Monaghan. Now, they're both retired, obviously, at this stage. And she trained in Walton Hospital and she went over in August in 1967. And also Margot Flavin, who left Waterford for Wrexham on New Year's Day, believe it or not, in 1963. And they began by telling me how they'll never forget the moment they left home. This is Patricia.
I had only one brother, so my mother and father were devastated at me clearing out England. And I travelled over with another girl from school. And because of the size of our suitcases, we had to have a taxi to the airport. And she had never been away a night from home in her life. She was an only girl with older brothers. And we arrived in Liverpool supposedly to be met by a girl who was already there who never turned up. And the two of us almost had a heart attack at coming out of customs. Liverpool Airport was very tiny at the time, and we're coming out of customs, and we had been warned by the nuns before we left about this terrible pagan country we were going to. And there was this chap at the door waving at us, and I'm thinking, holy Moses, they're right, you know. And I'm nudging her and I'm saying, there's somebody waving at us. And we were both that frightened, we didn't recognise her older brother who had driven up from Wolverhampton to collect us and take us to the nurse's home. So that was our introduction to England. We were so green.
I don't think I worried about it, but it was just all happening. And I was driven to the station on a nicey winter's morning, the 1st of January, which was an amazing date to be actually leaving. I got on a train by myself, probably the first time in my life. Don't recall how I got the ticket or where I went. And then when I got to Dublin, I had to get across Dublin from one station to the other because I was taking the boat, and the boat went from Dunleary. I'd never been to Dunleary. Hundreds of people just getting on this boat. And then that went into Holyhead. It got into Holyhead in the middle of the night. I had to get a train, and that took me down the Welsh coast down to Chester, where I got into Chester at 3:30 in the morning. And where I was taken was to the ladies' waiting room in Chester Station, where there was a fire and comfortable seats. And the station master said he might be able to get me a cup of tea. And I waited until my train at 7:30 to take me on.
It was very much like a boarding school. When we arrived at the nurse's home, the door was opened and this very matron-like retired ward sister, complete with the frilly hats and cuffs and everything, took us in. No men allowed. Door was shut.
They knew I was coming from Ireland. They knew I was travelling all night, and my room was ready and the bed was ready and it had a hot water bottle in.
Oh.
Because I'd be tired.
You didn't get that.
No, we didn't get that. Not quite. But central heating was a novelty.
A lovely touch there. The kindness, Valerie, of a hot water bottle in the bed for Margot. I suppose the training too, in fairness, it has to be said, was a lot different then.
Yeah, it was very intense. It was very tough. And they told me that they found their knowledge of biology a bit lacking.
There were about six Irish in our group, and we were coming, all of us, straight from convent schools where we did no biology, no whatever. And the majority of the English students had done a couple of years pre-nursing course, so they were way ahead of us on a lot of things. One of my friends, a male nurse, does still talk about watching us and the blush rising up our necks when certain subjects come up, because we just were not used to this. You learned all your basic hygiene, your bed making, a lot of the routine stuff, you know, before you were let loose on the wards. But the great majority of the nurses were Irish. An awful lot of them were Irish.
We spent the first few months in preliminary training, and we were removed from the wards. We were allowed to visit and see what a ward was like. But then we got to the ward. I was terrified to do anything. I was terrified of everyone. If they only said, talk to the patient, that was the big thing. Did you? Even when I was in preliminary training school, we'd go to the ward and we had our little notebooks and it would come back with what you saw or what you did. There were certainly rules and regulations, but for me they were fine because I was half afraid to go outside the door anyway.
And what about you? What about the restrictions? Our nurses' home, when I arrived, there was still an 11 o'clock curfew at night and 12 o'clock on Sunday with permission. The nurses' home, it was always, shall we say, a safe area because of this, no men allowed. The door was locked. You knew Miss Kind was her surname. Fanny Kind was the sister in charge. She was like a prison warder and she kept a strict eye on the door. She lived in an apartment right beside the door. I don't know if any of you remember the very stiff nylon house coats. Nearly everybody came with a new one of those, you know, and you'd be running around with the rollers and the whatever, and there was one bathroom at the end of a corridor to do everybody. But there was a great sense of freedom about it.
I was just going around half the time being amazed at where I was and how I got here. People from other countries that were there, I had never seen anyone, practically from outside of Ireland, and all these people were turning up. And again, it was the language thing because my ear had never heard English spoken other than with an Irish language. And here I was struggling to understand all this, you know.
It was a very, very rare thing to come across any form of anti-Irishness. You know, now, I would have gone in 1967, which was around the start of all the troubles in the north. So there were just one or two small occasions when things were said, but it was usually by people that really hadn't much knowledge of what was going on. But on the whole, we had a huge mixture. Like that, we in our own PTS, we had two from Mauritius, we had an Indian, we had a couple from Ghana.
Very interesting voices there, Valerie. Mm. And they've both left Ireland a lot of years ago. In one case, over 50 years ago, that's Margot Flavin from Wrexham. I'm wondering, is it just nurses or is it everybody who can hang on to an accent? I have a first cousin who's a nurse and she went to New York in about 1962 and you'd swear she'd never left Kilmacanny.
Yeah. Oh, they're back in Ireland now. Mm. They came back.
Right.
And in fact, they were telling me that, you know, they actually had Irish boyfriends when they went and they held on to them just in case they didn't meet anybody more suitable in the UK. And came back and got married.
And what did they think of the president's visit then?
Actually, they're absolutely thrilled with it. And, you know, I think that feeling is going to be reciprocated by every UK-trained nurse who's listening to them this morning.
It's nice to know that he's been welcomed over there and it'll be nice for him to recognise the input the Irish emigrants have had over there because, like, whether it be the hospitals, the roads, the every aspect of work down the years, the Irish have been there from day one, you know, whether it be from choice or from economic necessity. There's always been a big Irish, like my own father and mother went to England shortly after the war because there was no work here, you know, to work. And my father was a mechanic and he got a job with one of the big building firms. My mother also was a nurse, but there was no work here in those times. And then with the marriage ban, etc., so off they went. You know, we were glad to do it. But then when work came at home, back home again, you know.
And what do you think of the president's visit?
I think it's amazing. I really think it's wonderful. And I think it's amazing that he's recognising, especially the nurses who worked in England. There were so many of them. And, you know, at that time, we went to England to be trained to come back to Ireland. And we're doing it in reverse now. We're training our nurses here and sending them over to England. But I still think it's just amazing that the president has recognised that we went there and we did that and we survived and we came back with what we had to work in our own country.
Patricia Toll there and Margot Flavin talking to Valerie. Our thanks to you, Valerie, for that report. An interesting comment from Siobhan saying that she trained in the Mater in the 80s and they had an 11 p.m. curfew.